Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk again today about the Kingdom of God, and we're going to do it from the point of view of the big C word, which is not conspiracy, but cancer. And there may be some conspiracy involved in cancer, but we're going to talk about cancers and the principles of cancer and what and how, you know, what is this thing that causes cancer, and why is there such a pandemic of cancers today? I mean, years ago, even when I was a kid, I was hearing about the rise of cancer. And then, you know, half a generation later, people are talking about the rise of cancer. Well, is it continuously rising? Are we getting more and more cancers today than ever before? What exactly is this thing called cancer? Why are so many people getting it? Why is it supposedly so difficult to cure? Why is the medical profession having so bad a record of actually curing cancer? And what is the difference between curing cancer and healing cancer? And I could just go on all day about all the different questions that we could ask on this subject. And I probably will go on all day about it because we've got a couple hours here where we can talk about this subject. We'll have another hour this afternoon that we'll broadcast. I may get on some of the community calls that are going on today, and we'll talk about it. And it's a kind of an interesting topic and kind of an important topic because it affects so many people. Even if you don't get cancer, somebody you know will likely get cancer. And you should know as much about it as possible because in the kingdom, you're the doctor. You're the source of healing. You're the individual who's going to implement whatever healing or cure might take place. Now, you know, I sent out a notice just before I went on the air to everybody on the Living Network, and everybody should be on the Living Network that listens. And the Living Network is not just an email group, although we have a email network that we refer to sometimes as the network or the Living Network. The Living Network is actually congregations of people who actually are learning what Christ came to teach you, which is how to love your neighbor. And they start this by loving their families and taking care of their families. Or if they don't have families, they get to know a family and they start loving that family. They become an adopted member of that family in some sort of spiritual, emotional, social way. And they start caring for that family as much as they care about themselves. And they do this in a free assembly, which we call congregations. And those free assemblies start caring about each other in that assembly. And they begin to develop an identity of caring because they practice it. That's called religion. The religion is the fulfillment of your duty to God and your fellow man. And your duty to your fellow man, according to God, is to love your neighbor as yourself. Moses said it. Abraham did it. Jesus preached it. It's basically what John the Baptist was saying. And it's not love to covet your neighbor's goods or to send men to your neighbor's house to force him to contribute to what you want. That's not love. That's what socialists do, but that's not love. Socialists love to take money from one group of people and give it to another so that they don't have to take the money out of their own pocket. They don't have to sacrifice themselves. They want to sacrifice somebody else. They do not have the character of Christ. And there are a lot more people out there that are socialists. You call them communists. And when I grew up, there's a big thing about communism. It was a bad thing. And we still have a little bit of that. But, I mean, it was, you know, I grew up in the day of Herb Felbrick and Dr. Schwartz and these guys who were, you know, you could trust a communist to be a communist. And they were afraid that everybody was a communist. There were communists everywhere. And there were closet communists everywhere. But a closet communist is someone who thinks he's not a communist, but he believes in social democracy. And FDR was a social democrat. And, you know, if you read our articles on democracy and socialism, eventually you'll come, or the Constitution, Contracts, Covenants, and Constitution, all available for free online. You'll see that nobody in early America was really pro-democracy. There was almost all of them had something bad to say about democracy. You can go all the way back to the days of Caesar and Plutonius, Polybius, or Eusebius, and they're all saying things bad about democracy. George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, saying bad things about democracy. And then we point out that in the military manual of the United States given to its soldiers, they talk bad about democracy in 1927. But by 1945, our opinions all changed, evidently, or at least we were told to have different opinions that democracy was good. The only one I could find early on in the 18th century or 1800s was pro-democracy was Karl Marx, because it leads to socialism, and socialism leads to communism. So, anyway, why do I say this? Because you're going to see, before we're done, then I'm going to tie this into this topic of cancer. That cancer is an identity-caused disease. Somebody doesn't know who they are. Somebody thinks they're somebody else. Somebody doesn't identify with the body, and they begin to kill the body. And some very fascinating discoveries about cancer start to give you an idea that cancer is a concept. It's a precept, not in accordance with this precept and concept of life that Christ came to give you. It's not... A cancer cell is not being true to the body. It's doing its own thing. But there's some very interesting things about a cancer cell that's going to tell you something about the nature of the kingdom and the nature of those kingdoms, not of the kingdom, not of the world of Christ, of another kind of world. And that world is predominant today, and that's why you have cancer today. Is because the precepts of the kingdoms of the world that Christ's kingdom is not a part of is the kingdom that is running things in this world today. A number of things, and fortunately I put them down on notes. One of the things I just sent out, because one of my computers just went blue screen on me, just sitting here, just all of a sudden it went blue screen on me, where I had some notes that I wanted to share with you. One of the things, so I'm going to have to go from memory on that, but I do have some handwritten notes that I took while I was listening to a show on... cancer, the truth about cancer. And everybody on the network has heard about this because I've sent out notices that they're giving a free showing of this truth about cancer video that's like a 9-part video, and each part is over an hour long. So it's got a lot of information. Everything that they're saying in the video is probably not true. Everybody that is speaking in the video, you may not be able to trust. But it's a conversation with people who have been dealing with this topic of cancer in many different ways, other than the way that you normally see being dealt with it by your typical in the hospital oncologist and AMA treater of cancer. There, one of the things that is very clear is that the modern cancer treatment does not have a very successful rate. That there are people who are cured and they are, there's what they call spontaneous I can't think of the word, but where the cancer stops producing and begins to shrink up and disappear, and they just say that's a coincidence, but there are countless. I know people myself who had cancers, were sent home to die, and did some of these alternative care treatments, changed the way they lived, and the cancer completely went away, just disappeared. It shrunk up, died, and they lived another 20, 30 years, into their 90s in some cases. So the reality is that doctors don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers, but God has all the answers. And we're not doing what God says, so we're not going to hear his answers. He tells us that when we go and reject him, and when when the people of Israel elected Saul to be their king, to exercise authority one over the other, to rule over them, to fix things that they didn't want to attend to themselves, things that had to do with the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. God told the people through Samuel that he would take and take and take and take and take. He would take your sons and daughters and he would convert them to his purposes. And when you cry out, he would not hear you. You go to Samuel 8, you can read the whole thing. And the same warning you find in Common Sense by Thomas Paine. And modern Americans, modern Christians throughout the world are not reading Samuel 8. They do not understand Samuel 8. And they look to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over another to obtain benefits, to obtain security, to obtain salvation in this life. And yet they think they're Christians, even though that's directly against what Christ said you were to be like. Solomon became, and many of the other leaders of Israel became, cancers in their society. They converted the natural energy and health and well-being of society to their own purposes. That's what cancers do. That's what a cancer cell does. So people get involved in politics and they want to elect a different leader that's not going to do the same thing, that's going to be different than the leaders of the world, than the leaders that they have now. That's like going to an oncologist often and having radiology and chemotherapy and all these other things. Or if you just go to a doctor because, you know, what is the doctor going to do when you go to a doctor? And I'm not saying don't go to doctors. I'm just saying understand the principles. Because you may need to go to a doctor. You may need to go to a doctor because you've got something to work out. You may have a message for him. You know, I have no idea. I'm not trying to create ways in which you are going to conduct your life. I want you to start listening to the Holy Spirit. And so that's why I want to talk about the principles of cancer. Because I said in an email that I sent out that I hope I sent out before the computer crashed, this whole idea of cancer we see repeated in every aspect of our life. We see it physically in the body of individuals. We see it in the politics where we have members of society who develop a life of their own, a purpose of their own, and began to, most people who have cancer, they die not of the cancer, but of loss of protein in the body and body mass, and they waste away. And the cancer just takes all the life out of them for its own purpose. One of the interesting things I discovered, or at least I heard on this video that, as I've been listening to it, and there's still a bunch more parts left, is that cancer cells are immortal. They don't die. I found that fascinating, because that's telling you something about the principle of cancer. It's telling you something about the spirit that is operating in that we see manifested, let's put it that way, that we see manifested in that cancer cell. Now, I'm not saying that everybody who has cancer is, invaded by some unholy spirit. But there is an unholy spirit that has a great influence on society. And it is changing the course of society. And we need to change our course of our life back. My father and my grandfather both had cancer. Neither one of them died of cancer, but they died of the treatment that they received from doctors. And my grandfather was a doctor, old school doctor. I mean, he used to go to house calls in a buggy. So that's old school doctor. In the middle of the night, I remember him telling a story about he had to cross a bridge, and he wasn't sure if the buggy was narrow enough to get across the bridge when he saw it coming, but he didn't dare stop because it was snowing and all this stuff. And so he just trotted across the bridge, and he says he was sure that the rim of the wheel was just hanging over the edge as he crossed this old wooden bridge in the middle of a snowstorm in the middle of the night to go out and help deliver a baby. So, there were cars around shortly after that, even when my son was my dad was growing up. He was talking about seeing the first electric car ever come into, I think they were living in Dolan, South Dakota at the time. And it was being driven by two nuns, and it made no noise whatsoever. This is, one of these stick, no steering wheel, just kind of a stick-driven vehicle. But it was electric, and made no noise, and had these two nuns. He had never seen nuns before. And so it was like an invasion from another planet. So anyway, they came out of that old school thinking and everything. And of course, having a father who was a doctor, he went to doctors and had a cancer that the doctors navigated around. It was cutting off his duodenum so that he could not ingest food. And it was one of these finger growing tumors. It was literally strangling. It had wrapped itself around the duodenum, and it was strangling his body, killing him. And so that he couldn't eat any food. And so they bypassed the cancer. They couldn't operate on it because they had too many of these fingers. So they bypassed it, and he began to eat. He began to eat and digest food and started getting better. But a radiologist convinced him that, I can kill that cancer with radiology. And his own doctor advised against it because he said it was in a very difficult area. It was too near other vital organs, like the liver. And, of course, the radiologist won out because of our faith in doctors and because of we put our hope in them that they will save us. And that's a bad thing. Now, a doctor may have a lot of skill, but you don't put your hope in the doctor. You put your hope in something else. And my dad died of liver failure because he blew a hole through the liver with his radiation. He did not kill the cancer, and my dad didn't. Cancer was slow growing. They said it would probably be 20 years before it caused any serious problem at the rate it was growing. And that may be true. But I thought it was interesting that the cancer seemed to have it in for my dad to begin with, because it was, it could have grown in there without, there was no purpose to it strangling the duodenum. But it literally wrapped around the duodenum and squeezed it until no food would pass through. And it was made up of these cells that don't die, you know. And so anyway, there are some other interesting things that I heard on the show about cancer. And so I'm just sharing this background with you so that you get a little bit of an idea of and start thinking about the topic. But an interesting thing is that cancer cells are always what they call stem cells. And stem cells are in the body. And it's very interesting what stem cells are. You know, why do we age? Why does a cancer cell become immortal, yet we are not immortal? Yet we were told that somehow or other we were immortal at one time. But then we sinned and we began to age. And supposedly, according to biblical chronology, people used to live for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years even after being in the garden. And then after the flood, our lifespan began to be shortened. And now it's like programmed into us that we will automatically age, grow old, and die. Yet doctors will tell you that according to the way the body works, we should not grow old and die. According to the way the body works, that if you lost a kidney, you know, you got damaged, somebody ran a spike through you and killed one of your kidneys, and they had to surgically remove it, you know, because it was, you know, damaged with flesh. If somebody, you know, shot you or something, killed one of your kidneys, that theoretically a stem cell should attach itself to where that kidney is and grow another kidney. Stem cells don't know who they are yet. They haven't decided to be a liver cell, a kidney cell, whatever. I mean, people think, well, that's impossible. How could you grow another kidney from one cell? Well, how did you get here? You got here from one cell. Two cells combined together into one cell and then began to split and divide and become two cells and four cells and eight cells and 16 cells. Not very many cells, but it kept on doing this, and 9 months later you popped out with liver and kidneys and fingers and toes and bones and assumedly a brain. All from that one cell dividing. And cells in that fetus deciding to become a liver cell. Now, the cell, the original cell, all had the same DNA. The first two, three, four, eight cells have the same exact DNA. All your cells have the same exact DNA. But somehow or other, something told this cell to become a kidney, and this one to become a liver, and this one to become fingers. Something else besides the DNA is going on. Something's turning on the DNA in each cell to tell it to do that. And in a cancer cell, it decides to be something different. And we're going to talk about that, being something different, when we come back to Keys of the Kingdom. Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We're talking about cancers in society, cancers in politics, spiritual cancers, and physical cancers. And the physical cancer is a manifestation of something going wrong in our bodies. And there are a lot of other physical characteristics of cancer seen in society. And we also see it in our minds and in our spirit. So we're going to take a look at that cancer cell and what it does to get some spiritual insight into spiritual cancers and mental cancers and social cancers. Cancer is an identity problem. A cell that has your DNA in it, your program, hardwired with DNA, suddenly decides it's not going to be you anymore. It's going to be something else. And it seems to develop an identity of its own. Now, just to give you an idea that, you know, you can get microbes, fungus, that produces with spores that will actually, in a petri dish, it will start gathering together and forming a tower outside of this petri dish where it's growing in a medium, some sort of tissue or liquid medium where the fungus is growing. And it begins to form a tower. And as the fungus grows up out of the tower, it begins to die and make this like long, tall tower sticking up. And in the center of that tower, there's like a cavern, a vein, which is passing food up as well as, you know, the nutrients and everything up to the fungus tower to the top of this little mound you see raising up in the middle of the fungus petri dish. And finally, at the very top, there will be spores released. And why did they get that elevation? Is because when they release the spores, they want that fungus to go out, the spores to go out and start new colonies. And the higher they go, the more likely it is, the farther it will spread. How did the fungus figure that out? It doesn't have a brain. It just coincidence that it figured this out to where some of the fungus is literally sacrificing itself in order to continue the species. It's fungus. It's working like some sort of governmental body to reproduce itself somewhere else. Another interesting thing I discovered about cancer, or that somebody discovered and says about cancer, is that a lot of times cancer cells, when they first start to grow inside the body, whether it's a tumor or spread out, but when they first start to grow, they don't attack the body in any way, shape, or form. They don't steal and rob and you know, strangle duodenums or whatever. That they just wait until they get enough in their colony before they begin to make their presence felt. You know, and that's kind of like socialists. People weren't, they didn't want to identify themselves as communists. You know, I mentioned Herb Philbrick and Dr. Schwartz. Herb Philbrick was the guy who I led three lives. He was an undercover agent for the FBI, and he was also a member of the Communist Party, and he also was working as a spy for communist governments as a double agent. And, he was actually a loyal American. That's where his true identity was. But he played the part of a member of the Communist Party and a double agent. And they made a TV series about him. And I grew up watching the TV series and eventually got to meet Herb Philbrick and had Thanksgiving dinner with him. So that's like, again, the era that I grew up in, because they could see this communism as a cancer in society. But see, the cancer of communism is the covetousness of communism. It's the desire to force members of your society to serve your needs. And the proletariat don't remain pure. At first, they talk about, you know, saving society and stopping the abuses of society and stopping, you know, these rich corporate individuals who take from society, and we're going to control those. But they end up with the power to control everybody else, and you end up with gulags and abuses. Now, at first, they're going to do all kinds of things that are going to, people are going to praise. But eventually, they get around where they become a cancer. And they begin to devour the very body and destroy the very body. And that's what you saw with Stalin, where he took the breadbasket of the Ukraine and he stole their seed grain. So they couldn't even farm. And he starved millions of people to death. And became totally paranoid, where he was destroying the very fabric of his own society. And that's the natural course of events, just like it's the natural course of cancer to destroy the body. It's not going to do it right away. It's going to eventually get around to it, but it's going to live itself. And there's a corporate nature to a cancer, where these cells begin to work together, like the finger cancer that reaches out. And even when you look at some of the smallest cancer cells, you see them starting to attach themselves. And it's another entity, no longer with your DNA, your purpose, living in you, dividing and making more and more cells. And there's a lot of reasons why they can do this. Yet, being almost eternal themselves. And corporations are eternal. You know, corporations don't die, theoretically. They can die. And you read our articles on the golem, and of course you kill a golem with the truth. That's how you kill it. So anyway, another story. Let's go back to cancer. Cancer cells. These principles are found over and over again. And so you got cancer cells that don't die, that reproduce, that eventually form a mass that will actually strangle and kill and deplete the resources of the body, because it wants to live and it doesn't care whether you live. And it can actually become an instrument of your death. It can try to kill you. Physically try to kill you. Now, it may not go that way for a long time. It may be just become bigger and bigger and bigger. I mean, I've heard of huge, giant, 50-pound cancers that have to be surgically removed, that this person is carrying around with them. I mean, there's all kinds of different ways in which this cancer, but there's certain underlying things that you always see. Just like there's all kinds of, political systems. But one of the nature of the political system or cancer is that it has an identity of its own. Sustaining its life is more important than sustaining your life. It doesn't care. The political system eventually will begin to manifest characteristics where it does not care about you as much as it cares about itself. I mean, I live in America, so there's this government called the United States government, and has a Congress, it has a president, it has a vice president, it has a Senate. And they sometimes seem to care more about themselves than they do the rest of the people. It's because they're equivalent to a cancer in your society. And they're going to take and take and take and take. And they're going to sustain themselves. People can't even figure it out. They don't even know what to expect. I can tell you what to expect. This has gone on in history time and time again. But, back in the 50s, they did the Rees Commission, and they discovered that philanthropic organizations, corporations, not that corporations are bad. I'm just telling you. Because literally your liver, the liver in your body, the kidney in your body is a corporation of cells. That liver is a corporation. It's two or more liver cells gathered together for a particular purpose under the pre-existing authority of your DNA and body. And your liver is actually providing a service for you. It's a corporation of your body. A cancer is its own corporation. has its own separate identity and is getting its authority to live in your body from somewhere else, not from your DNA. Okay, so, you know, I'm using these analogies so that you begin to think in precepts rather than in, you know, the catchphrases that we always use. You know, that we begin to think outside the box. I'm trying to help you think outside the box and begin to understand certain principles. And it's going to take more than 2 hours here to get to the real spiritual aspects, but you can see me hinting at. Or some of you can. And this is an individual journey. You're going to have to take a look at your own spirit, your own soul, your own being, in order to really understand what cancer is all about. And all the other cancers in society that you're a part of, that you feed, that you create. So anyway, knowing a corporation is two or more individuals gathered together for a particular purpose under a pre-existing authority, that in itself is not a bad thing. What pre-existing authority? I mean, by that definition, husband and wife married under the eyes of God is a corporation. It's two or more people gathered together for a particular purpose under a pre-existing authority, that of God. The authority is what gives it its cancer. I mean, its character. And that character is either going to be cancerous or it's going to give life. And there can be combinations of these things because right now you're caught between two worlds. Between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of hell. The kingdom of hell wants you to form your body, your spirit, your family according to its authority and character, its name. And God wants you to form your family, your relationships with your community, etc., according to the name of Christ. So if you begin to listen to Satan, to the adversary, to the way that's contrary to the way of Christ, your relationships will become cancerous. Now, the cancer that we see manifesting in the physical society, in the bodies of individuals, is simply the tip of an iceberg. We have been seduced away from the ways of Christ hundreds of years ago. So many of you, your parents were seduced away. And I'm not saying that they're all bad, but they are beginning to be seduced away. They're accepting ideas and rejecting ideas that are taking them away from the kingdom of God. You need to start re-examining your own souls, your own minds, your own hearts, your own relationships, and start moving back towards the kingdom of God. And this will affect your healing. One of the things that I pointed out in the email that I sent out announcing this program, which I did, it evidently did get out. I've gotten away from my blue screen during the break, and I was able to check that. But I make a distinction between the words cure and healing. You don't want to be cured. No, you don't want to be cured of cancer. You want to be healed of cancer. And there's an interesting thing about God and the Spirit. God is talking to every one of you all the time. He's trying to tell each of you the truth all the time. That is the nature of God. He's all around you, everywhere. The kingdom of heaven is everywhere. It's at hand. It's within your midst. But you're not hearing it all the time. You're not sensing it all the time. Because other things are also here. And they're trying to draw your attention away from the kingdom of heaven and the ways of Christ. And one of the biggest tools it does to do that is religion. Or what's posing as religion today. We've explained this in articles. Religion was the performance of your duty to God and your fellow man. That's what religion was. But today, religion is what you think about God. So, you know, when I sent out the notices of this free, showing of this DVD on cancer, The Truth About Cancer, somebody wrote me back and said that, that the Lord is the answer. He is the solution. Not experts. Well, of course, you know, depending on who you ask, the people that are in this video are either experts or kooks. They're not considered experts. And as a matter of fact, they are saying something contrary to what the experts are saying. So, I mean, what's an expert? And so, anyway, so I asked the guy. He said that we were, I says, I can't remember exactly what I asked him. I could go back here and find the email. But eventually he just sent me one line, Matthew, I think it was 6:33 anyway. But basically it was the one that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So I asked the guy, so what does that look like in your life? Because I wanted to know, where is this guy coming from? I mean, he quoted the Bible, but I mean, Satan can quote the Bible. I don't know this guy from the man on the moon. He's just on our kingdom news list. I don't recognize the name as any of the congregations, but then again, I'm not always that good at that. There's a lot of people out there. But I wanted to find out more about the guy, so I thought that was the simplest question. So what do you think it means to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness in your life? How does that manifest itself? What's the fruits of that in your life? Because that's how you know, is by their fruits. And so anyway, a series of emails went back and forth, but he never would answer that simple question. He says that I'm changing the topic. No, the topic was, you said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and I'll also be added unto you, which I assume he means good health. So I asked him, what does that look like? How do I know you're actually seeking the kingdom of God, and not just using a Bible quote to lure people away from something that might help them? Because this looking at cancer is looking at the problem in society, at least an aspect of the problem, a physical aspect of the problem manifesting itself in our physical bodies. That's the fruit of something manifesting itself in our physical bodies. And so we're getting a message from heaven when we have cancer. And I tell you, when a family is presented with a member of the family or a close friend even who has cancer, that this is challenging us to think outside the box. Although many people just go right down to the doctor and let the doctor do whatever they want, because the doctor is going to cure them. They have a monopoly on the word cure. You can't tell people you can cure them, and you don't want to cure them. You know, I looked up the definition of cancer. Is a term used for a disease in which abnormal cells divide without control and are able to invade other tissue. Sounds like spies. Sounds like a fifth column coming into your body. You know, we have this huge immigration. We were on the road the other day, and there was a big sign, the beware of migration. And then it's a flashing sign. And then it said something about deer. And I thought that would be a good picture to take a picture of that flashing, big, huge, I mean, a giant sign over the highway. And I think it was on Highway 97. And of course, we have this huge migration of people coming from different countries in North Africa and what have you, and invading Europe. And they say right out that they want to go to England, and then they want to go from England to Canada and to the United States. It's a huge migration. Somebody's invading us, the tissue of our society. And they're bringing their own DNA, spiritual, emotional, social DNA, You know, they've screwed up their country, and now they want to come and screw up our country. And we are a fit habitation for them because we've already screwed it up ourselves. We just haven't realized that we've made a home in our society for wickedness and evil. And so evil is coming. Now, I'm not saying all immigrants are evil. I mean, some of those immigrants are actually fleeing the evil that is in the world today. And it's been growing in the world for the last century at tremendous leaps and bounds. And it's a spirit of taking, of raping, of devouring, of and it seems to be coming out of the Middle East and North Africa. But the reality is it's everywhere. It's also coming out of places like South America. Now, with those immigrants that are coming, there are good people or people that would receive the message of the kingdom of God. So you can't, I'm not saying immigrants are bad in any way, shape, or form, but I'm saying with that huge shifting of population, it's like a cancer cells suddenly spread throughout the body, spreading their cancer everywhere. And you can't tell, when you just look at blood, you can't tell which cell, you can't see which cell is cancerous and which cell is actually bringing you life. But that's what you're going to have to develop a view to see. So anyway, this cancer cell that is growing inside your body abnormally with its own identity can eventually invade other tissue and begin to steal energy from other tissue around it, absorb, you know, take food from other, and that's what we see in society. We see that same spiritual principle being repeated. Europe is being inundated by these people who immediately go in and get on welfare and facilities. They're actually going right into homes now. They get such mobs. They go right into homes and take what they want. They get on buses and they say, you have to take us to the next stop. And it says, no, this is as far as the bus goes. And it says, we want to go to the next stop. You must take us. And the person who's driving the bus is actually an immigrant, but they came from another viewpoint. When they came as immigrants, they tried to blend into society and work with society, and they were appreciative of society. Now we have this huge number of people coming, and they want what they want, and they want it now. So anyway, I also gave the definition of two other words, cure and healing. I said, you don't want to be cured, you want to be healed. So in order to be healed, you must deal with the actual cause. Cure is defined. I'm going to read these actual definitions. Just Googled it. Define cure. And this is what showed up. Is defined, relieve a person or animal of the symptoms of disease or the conditions that they cause. Curing can also be preserve meat. Well, are you meat? Are they preserving your meat? But anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting that these two different words, cure as a meat preservative or fish or tobacco or animals or anything. But it is defined, cure is defined as just to relieve the symptoms of a disease or the adverse effects. It doesn't talk about actually removing the disease or the cause. And that's actually what they do. They want to. They're not removed. They actually open up when they treat most cancers. They're interested in killing the cancer cells that are causing the problem. And when they do that, the cancer comes back in 5 years, or 6 years, or 7 years, and it comes back more aggressive than ever before because they never dealt with the cause. Healing has to do with the cause. We're going to talk more about this on Keys of the Kingdom. So stay with us. Join us. We'll be back. Thank you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.